Manifest Podcast listeners, we are back with this week's episode. I am Jay. I've got the Nancy. I've got the Angela with me.
What do you recording. Mean, we?
We.
We?
Yeah. The royal we.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Nintendo Wii.
I thought you were talking about the French Wii.
Ah.
God, well, imagining having a conversation back in the early 2000s about how you procured your Nintendo Wii, but you are French. Did you get a Wii? Wii!
Oh, I have purchased a new Nintendo console. Wii.
Yeah. Wii, I have a Wii.
Yep.
Oh my, you know, cool. There probably was a million Quebecois and French memes that just didn't spread on the early internet because of that.
You know?
But it should have. We were deprived.
No time like the present.
My God, that was 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes. And speaking of no time like the present, thanks for visiting us at Calgary Expo. If you didn't grab your tickets there, get them now at otafest.com/tickets. Get them now before they sell out. We do
and
cap.
They do.
So
they many have years in sold a row. Out for the last 4 years, I want to say.
Yep.
Ever Maybe since more. We got back from the great implagining, they have sold out every single year.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So please don't procrastinate anymore.
We are sellouts. We are sellouts in that you cannot come if the tickets sell out.
Yeah. Speaking of selling out, oh no, you can't get the Tamagosando from 7-Eleven anymore, but not because of stock issues, because of danger issues.
Listeria recall issues, and this isn't just the Tamagosandos, it's like all of their sandwiches.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm pretty sure.
The 7-Eleven factory messed up.
They got contaminated. They got invaded by an evil germ, Listeria. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Listeria is awful.
Not going to lie, I would have been so disappointed had I got one of the infected sandwiches. I remember eons ago, back in 2023, when I got food poisoning on the way to Japan from the WestJet ravioli.
I will never forgive them.
On the way back.
WestJet ravioli.
On the way back, I was like, I am not going to eat the plain food at all. I am not going to even nibble on what they give me. Not even the prepackaged little cookies. So in the airport, Dio and I hit up a 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. Almost all of the treats at the 7-Eleven in the Narita airport were sold out
gone.
Because it was like 8 p.m. local time. There was a lineup of gaijin going through this 7-Eleven. This 7-Eleven was maybe 75 square feet, and every square foot of it was filled with nerds. And
I do remember, I know exactly which 7-Eleven you're talking about. I remember it well because it's on this little corner.
Exactly.
And yeah, it is probably the most international of any 7-Eleven in its customer base.
And yet, they have the most restricted shelf space.
Yes. Now, despite that, Dio and I, we were grabbing every single Japan-specific snack that we could, including, like, some of their sandwiches. Like, you know the milk bread sandwiches with the whipped cream and the fruits inside of it? We got a couple of those. We got, like, the last ones on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And after 5 hours in the air, my God, those sandwiches hit the spot just the right way. The WestJet flight attendant came by and they were like, "Would you like some food?" And we're like, "No, no, no."
How was the flight only 5 hours?
Because that was the middle of the flight.
Hard pass. Oh,
okay. That was the middle of the flight, Jay. We were like, "No, no, no. Behold, we have our 7-Eleven delicious snackies. We don't need your poisonous WestJet food." Of course, we were more polite than that.
To be fair, on the way over, Angelo and I tried to compare notes as to what we ate because of the four of us, only he got sick. So we were all talking about which choice we picked and what it looked like. And from what it sounded like, your meal didn't look like the other raviolis that we had. It looked
mine. So
different.
You guys, I believe that you, Sean, and Dio all took the rice and chicken, didn't you?
No, one of us took the ravioli, and I definitely had a moment where I was like, "That's not what it looked like when I opened mine."
My ravioli did look like basic bitch Chef Boyardee that had been microwaved like 4 minutes too long.
Yikes!
Yeah, it was not appetizing, but I was hungry at the time.
Aren't we all?
And this coming year, when I go back to glorious Nihon, I'm once again going to stack my backpack full of whatever snacks I can get in the airport and not touch a goddamn thing they give me on the plane.
Very fair. Very fair.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Just fly ANA. Just fly Cathay Pacific. Just fly a non-North American flight operator.
You're forgetting that we don't get direct flights to Tokyo from anything other than WestJet.
Yeah, and not gonna lie, doing the direct flight with WestJet is actually cheaper.
Definitely.
That one extra layover in Vancouver, while not a lot of time, does add up to a lot more wasted time.
It does. It is.
I don't know. Vancouver Airport's pretty pleasant.
Yeah, but it's like one deplaning and replaning and an extra flight that you didn't need to do.
But good Lord.
But the experience is so much better.
Uh-uh. I mean, yes it is. All on the airline, yes. But yeah. Time is also worth something to me.
Yeah, it really is.
If you say so.
A funny thing happened. Dio and I, so we are planning to go this November. We've already got the tickets and everything. And we were talking to some friends, and they were like, oh, we would also like to go. What about, are you going? So just like when Dio and I went to Japan, and Nancy and Sean happened to be there at the exact same time, wonderful time, wonderful, wonderful vacation, absolutely fantastic memories from 2023. We were thinking, hey, this is going to be the exact same way. This is going to be great. Somehow, it has turned into a damn near 17-person tour group.
Wow. Now I'm kind of glad I'm not going at the same time.
That friend has invited a lot of their friends. And while everybody kind of seems to understand that in Japan, you cannot just do things as a 17 or 20-person group. You can't just go places like that. You kind of have to spread yourself out, hang out with one group or the other. So I hope that nobody feels left out, but good Lord.
Okay. There are definitely things you can do, but they're going to be like more expensive because it'll be like going to a theme park or a zoo, like anything that you would do here. Like you wouldn't really want to go to a restaurant as 20 people unless it's like a pre-planned birthday thing with bookings and reservations. Makes sense. But you can go to the zoo. Everyone can get a zoo ticket. My question is, how many of this group are new, like first timers
to Japan?
Because that really colors the actual activity, and experience of people who are not first timers.
As True. Far as I can tell, maybe half the group is going to be first timers.
Oh,
and
boy.
So a lot of the group is probably going to be like, hello, first timer, latch onto me, your senpai. I will show you the way of Japanese public transit and convenience store etiquette.
I see. I wouldn't do it.
See, it worked out really well. It worked out really well in 2023 because it wasn't planned to be like a four-person thing. It just kind of ended up that we had a lot of overlap. And we were able to hang out sort of independently. So if you are expecting the tour group experience, that's so much harder to do without going through an actual tour group company.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like if I had anything to really say about it, I almost wish that the new half kind of did their thing because first of all, you almost don't want to color the experience of your first time with almost like too much knowledge about other things that you can do that aren't just like the touristy new things. I always say that when you go there the first time, weeb out. Just out.
That is what Dio and I did, and it was fantastic. Like, there was a lot of touristy stuff, a lot of things that we wanted to do that we missed, just because, to be fair, this is my vacationing style, this is my living style. I don't like to plan things down to the minute. I do like to be a lot more spontaneous about it. And that does mean that certain things we kind of missed out on. But with a second round, going in, there are certain things we will do, certain things we won't do.
Yeah.
And, like, we don't have to go to Don Quixote for 6 hours meticulously combing through every single floor. We might anyway, but we don't have to.
I actually actively grimace when I have to enter a Don Quixote now, I will say. I do. Because a lot of it is because Don Quixotes tend to be tourist traps. Did I tell you? I think I did mention this. There was a Don Quixote that I went to that was like the most local feeling Don Quixote I've never been. Like, that donkey was a mega donkey, but it had a bike shop and a grocery store inside of it.
Wait, that's kind of great though. Well,
it was amazing. And there was genuinely, I felt like my partner and I were the only foreigners in there to the point where, like, I felt like people were looking at us, being like, how did they find this one? there's a regular, you know, donkey for Gaijin, like, three blocks away. This one's for us.
Well, my personal feelings of Don Quixote is that it's basically just Japanese Walmart, is what it is. As far as I can tell, it's better than Walmart. It is the stuff that they have is much better than what you would find in
it's
a typical,
like,
Walmart.
If Walmart was made for tourists.
But legitimately, that's the thing. Walmarts, Costco's, someone from overseas might go there, but they are overwhelmingly for the
they
locals to
Costco
shop at.
In Japan,
you know?
Angela.
Do they? Wait, that's right. They do have Costco in Japan. I remember this. Yes. Rolling this all the way back to where we started, had I gone to that 7-Eleven in the Narita airport, gotten the food there explicitly to avoid the WestJet food poisoning ravioli, then had I gotten food poisoning from it, I would have just felt so betrayed. I would have felt like, clearly, I am not meant to travel. But no. Clearly all of the danger food is on the Canadian side of the Pacific, and therefore I must go. I must return to the land of weeaboos.
I feel like also we talk about Sev a lot because we have Sevs here, but Famichicky's where it's at. Family Mart is where it's at. Lawson is okay, I don't mind going at all, but I prefer Family Mart every time, and then it's 7-Eleven, and then it's Lawson's.
Nice. That's fair. No, I can't argue with that. I felt like every single one of them was fantastic, but
I mean, the actual good stuff is going to a bakery, for example.
Yeah. God, yeah. I remember when Dio and I were in Kyoto, there was literally a delicious, wonderful bakery next door to our hotel, and just about every single morning, we would go over there to pick up some things.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was so good.
You just reminded me of the very, very first, like, Lawson's onigiri that I ever had immediately after touching down in Japan, because we still had to take a local flight down to Osaka. So I made the mistake of flying to Vancouver, flying to Tokyo, and then still having to take a local flight down to Osaka.
That sounds like hell.
It was, but the second we touched down in Tokyo, the very, very first konbini we found my very first onigiri. It was heaven. It was so good. It was so good. Plus, I picked up a melon pan, and it was one of the ones with custard on the inside.
Oh.
It hit the spot so hard. Like, when you said, like, it hit the spot. Like, you reminded me of this. It just hit the spot. It was so good.
Is the konbini going to have the corgi butt buns again?
Ooh, probably.
I want the corgi butt buns.
Ooh, probably?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a staple.
Yeah, like we had them the last 2 years. We had them the last 2 years. I hope we have them again. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
I mean, technically, it should be a staple because it represents Gabriel, our little corgi mascot.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Corgi
ass buns.
Yeah. Gay butts. But
yeah, gay butts.
They're just also a really good staple to have, right? Like, it's relatively, like, if you're the kind of person who's not super adventurous with your food, it's not anything that's too out there for you.
It's just a bun cream.
It's just bread.
Yeah, bread and cream, and that's all it needs to be.
It's shaped real cute. It's just bread.
Yeah.
So that's why I have a hard time seeing it as not a staple at every year's konbini, but I don't know. Maybe we should ask for like an advanced sneak preview.
Ooh. A tasting menu.
And we can talk about it next week to tantalize folks further.
I don't know. We'll see.
Impossible.
We'll see. But it's just...
Our konbini is quite impressive, honestly.
We don't have to wait long. I was looking at the calendar.
Yeah.
When this airs, it is 2 weeks and a day. It is 15 days to Odafest Thursday.
That's wild.
Wait,
did
what?
You understand that? 15 days
Hang
to Odafest
on.
Thursday.
What?
Hyperventilate now.
We have so much to do.
We have way too much to do.
We have so much to
no.
do.
I have it on good authority. There are some specifics I cannot reveal at this time, but a friend of mine just bought their wig yesterday.
Dio just got a wig for one of their cosplays yesterday, and they have give or take 40 hours of work to do on a nice fuzzy wolf fox arm thing for their cosplay. So good luck, Dio. I hope they overheard me and haven't had a heart attack.
That's a full work week that you have to get into.
I don't
into...
hear anything from that side of the house. So
not yet,
I'm
you
assuming that Dio's still alive, but we'll see.
Assuming your luxury birdcage is still communicative via audible sounds, it's probably internalized stress squealing at the moment.
Real.
that's terrible.
Oh
my gosh. But also,
why would you do that to your partner?
This is how we show love, I guess.
Exactly. If you're not teasing your partners and giving them minor stress heart attacks, what are you even doing?
Yeah. Minor.
Minor.
I am supposed to be the number one source of anxiety for my partner, isn't that
exactly
true? And annoyances and, terrible jokes.
Listen, if I'm keeping their cortisol levels low, it is my duty every now and then to raise them just a little bit to give myself more work to do.
That's one way to view the progression of your life with someone. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It
must be.
So, okay, but in terms of, like, unexpected sources of stress, not the expected ones, but the unexpected ones, the last week of weather in Calgary has been a very weird source of stress. Like,
it's been insane.
The absolute levels of damage that have occurred from the wind. And this is a windstorm that didn't just, like, normally in Calgary, it's like, okay, today is a windy day. Not the next 3 days are going to be so windy. We're going to tear apart some of our plus 15s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I saw that. The building downtown that Sunil Cameras is in, I saw photos where like the side of one of their walls is ripped off.
Oh my God.
That's just nuts.
I don't know what the state of the wall was like before, but usually when wind is able to move bricks, that's not good.
It was 3 a.m. on Friday. There was a large clattering throughout our building. It felt like the whole building shook. And Dio actively got out of bed to go and look and be like, hey, is our patio set still there? Do we Valid still question. Have patio furniture?
Okay.
Luckily, yes. Look, a big-ass heavy wooden chair that was unfolded and left to sit on our balcony was now folded and slammed against one of the edges, one of the railings of our balcony.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
A self-folding chair.
And a... A outdoor rug that was soaked with water because of the snow that we'd had that week, instead of being flat against the ground, had been picked up and crumpled into the corner of the balcony.
Uh-huh.
The wind was strong.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me tell you a true suburban horror tale.
A horror tale? In the suburbs?
Yes, as my partner and I returned home and we turned into our alleyway, down the whole alleyway, at least four recycling and or garbage bins were tipped over.
Oh, they were migrating to warmer climates, you see.
The absolute terror.
The travesty. Okay, I can one-up that very easily. So in the back alley that is around my street, there is a hilarious T intersection of alleyways. So there's a couple of different alleyways that actually connect. And this is one of the ways, this is one of the back ways that I use to sometimes get around some of the stranger traffic that builds up around this area. And so when I go through the alley, I generally expect that on a bin day, the bins are on the side of the alley. Well, this was not a bin day, because all 3 days of the windstorm were not bin days. But every single time I drove past that entryway, all 15 bins were in the middle of the alley, preventing all vehicles from getting in, around, or through that whole alley. Plus, apparently the wind tore down one of my neighbor's fences. Like, the fence looked like it just collapsed in on itself.
Oh my God.
Slammed into some bins, knocked them all over, and then everyone's recycling was just floating around in the wind for the last 3 days.
Jesus Louises.
And it was a sight. Like, I kind of saw it and I was like, wow, it's really good. I don't have to deal with this alleyway if I don't want to, but damn. My alleyway specifically didn't have quite so bad of a time because it doesn't quite face the same angles as these alleyways. Like, they're not parallel nor perpendicular to them. And apparently the angle that it's at really helps when it's a northerly wind, which is what this storm was. It was completely northerly.
That is so insane. And it's, you're right, it's a northerly wind, a frigid wind, a cold wind. Oh my Lord, oh my God. God, we went from like plus 20 to negative freezing with every single gust. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So over the winter, I had bought myself some relatively nice hats. Like not insanely cool hats, but not like $20 ball caps, right? You know what I mean?
A fine chapeau.
Exactly. A fine chapeau. And I was on my way to work yesterday. I was really worried that if I wore one of these nice hats, it was going to blow off my head. It was going to get blown into traffic or wherever. And I didn't want to lose one.
No.
So I went looking through. I went looking through my closet to find some hat that could keep my head warm. But if it got blown away, I wouldn't miss it too much. And so there I found it. A five-year-old toque that I bought, emblazoned with the V Shoujo logo, the VTuber company, now famously disgraced and closed because it had been stealing money from its talents and from charities. And I was thinking, you know, I don't even want to wear this.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But, you know, my head would get really frozen. I don't even have hair to protect it. I need something. So, begrudgingly, I wear this hat. and I walk 15 minutes to the train station, and it does its job. It does its job. I actually feel bad that I couldn't wear the hat anymore, because it was it was one of those toques where it was like warm enough to be good, but not so heavy that it was too warm when it was like just like -5 out. And so there I was, sitting at the train station, standing, I should say, at the train station. The train started coming up, and just as the train was about 50 feet away, a massive gust of wind blows. And with that gust, the hat leaves my head. Ooh. Blows in the wind, and lands on the train tracks just as the train itself goes and runs it over.
Jesus.
Wow.
And I just
That's
sat
some
there.
Anime shit.
I fucking laughed. I absolutely laughed. I was just like, you know, nothing of value was lost.
Nothing of value was lost. Even the Calgary Transit System said, no, Vishojo.
No, Vishojo. Be gone, yes, Vishojo.
Look, the top of your head may have gotten cold, but your soul was warmed.
It
your
really
soul
was.
Was cleansed a little bit. With
it
that
really
one
was.
Gust of justice wind.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God.
I will say, I have some mixed feelings about this weather. Not that I am enjoying it right now, but, you know, partially, it's going to be one of two ways. First of all, I hope it means that we'll be good for the 15 days from now thing that is going to happen. That is important to all of us.
Yeah.
I will also say, I will also say that if it doesn't clear up, it's kind of okay, because on a more serious note, if people don't know and weren't expecting it, because some, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily frequent downtown, the area around our convention center location, specifically the exterior area immediately outside Stephen Avenue and
Center Street,
a little bit of Center Street and the Bowness, the Glenbow Museum, have all been undergoing renos, and we've known about this
all year.
You know, as a convention and an event that is hosted at the venue where we're at. We knew, they told us, but at the same time, we don't get to control construction timelines. So even if weather isn't great, I believe we don't have a lot planned outside. That being said, it would still affect people going out or, you know, just wanting to get photo shoots done or just hanging out or going to a local restaurant that we're partnered with or whatnot. So I feel a little bit bad for them, but there's lots of reasons to stay inside if the weather is bad, because all the content that we're hosting this year is indoors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we've mentioned on podcast, we do have a few rooms of content in the Hyatt. We have obviously the Marriott, and of course we have TCC. So, you know, we've expanded a little bit inwards, so that you don't necessarily have to be outwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what the Hyatt spaces look like.
I'm excited for all
of it. It'll be good.
I'm excited for all of it. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God.
I know. But also, oh, my God, it's 15 days away.
Just to soothe our anxiety of it being 15 days away, let's talk about something that isn't Odafest for a second. So Valve has been doing some gaming shenanigans. Gaming company does gaming shenanigans? News at 11.
No way.
So Valve has been going extremely hard on Linux gaming, I want to say over the last decade. And over the last couple years, it's been really showing fruit. One of the really, really, really interesting things that they've done recently, they have done some optimizations for between Proton and graphics drivers and the Linux kernel itself that make Linux gaming better on lower-end hardware, on weaker PCs. And not gonna lie, with the state of the PC market right now, weaker PCs really need the leg up every way they can get it. Specifically what they've done. They have done improvements for systems with 8 gigabytes of video memory or less. So if you have an older graphics card or even a newer graphics card from NVIDIA that just happens to have 8 gigabytes of VRAM or less, Linux will now prioritize swapping the memory in such a way to almost quintuple frame rates.
Ooh.
It's really cool.
From 3 to 12.
I don't want to get like too deep in the weeds. But what was happening in the past, your computer, it has its RAM that's connected to the CPU. And then your GPU, the graphics card, it has its own RAM on it. The GPU needs to use its VRAM, the video RAM, if you will, to draw things to the screen. That's where it keeps like pictures and textures, things like anime girls and such.
Shading.
Shaders. Environments and everything on the VRAM. What would happen if you had a really low low memory graphics card, let's say 2 gigabytes, 4 gigabytes, 8 gigabytes, because things like the NVIDIA 3070 or the NVIDIA 5060, there are still 8 gigabyte versions of it, which isn't very much these days. Like, if you're playing, like, Deadlock, you can very easily get up to that 8 gigabyte limit. In the past, it was kind of just random whether when your graphics card is like, I need this picture from your memory, CPU, whether the CPU would prioritize it or not, if it would give it or not. It was almost like a first-come, first-served sort of system. Now, the underlying operating system will actually optimize and prioritize those types of graphics calls to make sure that the swaps from RAM to VRAM happen faster. And it's kind of nice. It's kind of great. It means that old gaming machines can perform their best. And I just like that from a nerdy point of view and an environmental point of view.
Honestly, though, like in this age of god-awful hardware prices,
we
this
need
is
it.
Also just really, yeah, like it really alleviates, like, I mean, I feel like there has been some discourse in the past couple of months by higher level tech nerds than I on their respective platforms talking about how gaming as a hobby, especially for people with less money, such as kids for one thing, but also just for adults that don't have the disposable income to sort of route towards an otherwise like historically not that expensive hobby, gaming has sort of had a concern about like essentially dying out because people aren't able to play the games with, you know, certain they're not meeting certain benchmarks for their computers or, for example, hardware like a PS5 is just too friggin' expensive.
Yeah.
For people.
The PlayStation like, 5 is the bad. First console. Rather, this is the first console generation, I should say, which years after launch, the consoles more expensive than when they launched.
Yes. And not just due to regular inflation, but actual price increases, which is crazy.
Regular inflation be damned. Like the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 2, the PlayStation 1, literally all of them were cheaper several years after they launched. And that
but
just
there's
doesn't
also
happen
some
anymore.
Good news. There's also some good news not related to PlayStation, but their longtime competitor, Xbox /Microsoft in this
Microsoft
particular
gaming.
Scenario. The Game Pass, they actually just announced that they're lowering the price for Game Pass, which, even though I am not a Game Pass user, I would always say that the Game Pass, especially if you're on like a specific budget, get the Game Pass.
It's a good deal.
Because it is an amazing deal. You get access to, I think it's literally hundreds of games. They keep them on the library. for quite a while, so you usually don't have to worry about it disappearing too soon after you've purchased the Game Pass subscription. But like, yes, on one hand, it's a subscription, so you're gonna have to keep on upping it every every month. But on the other hand, you're getting access to a library that you normally probably wouldn't have, and instead of buying that one game for $80, you are getting hundreds of games for, I don't know what the exact price is in Canadian right now. Like I said, I don't, but they just said they were going to lower it. I think it's a really good thing. And Game Pass is accessible both on, Xbox consoles and on PC. So hopefully these things combine for better gaming experiences for everybody.
Yeah. And like, I was thinking about this the other day. There was like a 10-year period, I want to say, from around 2010 up until 2020, where gaming was probably one of the best value hobbies you could have. It was like one of the cheapest hobbies you could have with the most fun that you could do. And I was thinking, it didn't used to actually be that cheap. I was thinking back to the 90s. When I bought Hey You Pikachu for the Nintendo 64, and after tax, it was something like $115 Canadian.
Dear goodness.
In 1998 money, I did the math. In 2026 money, that is over $200 just for the one game.
Oof.
And I was thinking about it. Back when I wanted to play Dragon's Crown on the PlayStation 3, I didn't own a PlayStation 3. I did some shenanigans to get the PlayStation 3 for the cheapest I possibly could. And between a PlayStation 3, an extra controller, several games, and Dragon's Crown itself, I spent less than 150 Canadian.
That's crazy.
That's
some serious shenanigans. Are the shenanigans you talk about a five-finger discount?
No. No, it was actually all above board. So I was working at the Source at the time. And my specific store was what was called a joint venture store, where our manager had the authority to mark things down. And the only difference is if he marked it down below cost, he would personally get charged the extra. So normally, for employee discounts on anything, he would say, yeah, it's cost plus 10%, with one exception. Game stuff, you get whatever discount the system will give you, which was usually only like 5%, something weak like that. Mm. But when I wanted Dragon's Crown and I didn't own a PS3, I was looking. I knew that we had stock of PlayStation 3s that were going for $150 only. And I was looking for other stores that would have them. Luck just so happened to have it. I found a specific SKU that while the retail price was $150, the cost to store was $60.
I see.
This was absurd. This was some type of quirk of the system. I don't know how this happened. Legitimately, this stock had been on the shelf for like 10 years or something at this point. I don't know. It was really, really old stock. And so I went up to my manager and I was like, hey, I've been a really good employee. I barely ask for anything. I don't even ask for days off most of the time. I need this PS3 for cost plus 10%. And he's like, you know, I can't do cost plus 10% on gaming. You know that. And I'm like, hold on. Type this SKU into the system and look at the cost of store. He does it. I see the eyes bulge out of this man's head. He's like, I'll do it on one condition. You find another one of these PlayStation 3s for me. So I'm calling like five different stores across Canada being like, hey, do you happen to have this very specific SKU of PlayStation 3? Hey, can you ship that to my store? Because shipping between stores, well, that was covered by corporate.
I was gonna say, but like, yeah. even though like the actual cost would have probably been about 60 or like based on the weight of a console, it would probably be about 70 or 80% of that price.
I know,
$60.
It's insane. It was we were wheeling and dealing for our own measures, and so yeah, we did that.
Did you guys start selling PS3s outside in parking lots from the back of a van?
There was like four. There was four of this SKU across the entire company. Our store ended up getting three of them.
Sweet Jesus, what a way.
And then because nobody buys video games at the source, literally nobody does, I start going through our PS3 stock and are going through our overstock. I find a controller package that is the controller and Little Big Planet.
Oh, I
for
love that
$5.
Package. Oh, nice.
Oh, I love $5. Little Big Planet.
And I keep
things
going.
You can't
I find other really cheap games. I grabbed myself a Soul Calibur 5 for $3. Ooh. I found Final Fantasy 13-2 Lightning Returns for another $1.50. And then when the time came, I went to GameStop and bought Dragon's Crown and Tales of Symphonia 2. Absolutely perfect. All of this together cost less than just the equivalent cost of Hey You Pikachu.
what a time.
Yeah, I don't think this I don't think this could remotely happen now unless you are again applying aforementioned five finger discount.
Real.
Nowadays. That's real. That's crazy. Yeah, other than that, it's like Steam discounts, right? Like
that is the way. But PCs are so expensive now that you have to get into cheaper hobbies. You know, cheaper hobbies
like
actual carpentry, you know? Spend $10,000 on table saws and bandsaws and planes and everything like that, because that's cheaper than buying like 16 kilobytes of RAM.
Or you could do what Jay's doing and just start an aero garden.
Yeah.
Another aero garden?
Or, you know, get into boating. Another famously cheap hobby, boating.
I'll just get into F1 racing.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, like F1 racing.
With gas prices being what they were.
Boating. All of these famously inexpensive hobbies. They're so much more cost effective than gaming and electronics and hardware right now.
It's true. But yes, I mean, it is the time of year where green things should be poking out of the ground.
I have green
it did
things
briefly.
Poking out of the ground.
I don't know. If you look outside, I might be covered by a layer of white right now.
Yeah, but tulips, okay, to be fair, tulips do like ice. Like, they like
They
cold.
Do actually, yes. They do propagate through a thin layer of snow and ice, for sure.
Yes.
I think irises do, too, don't they? And dandelions?
Irises,
or not dandelions,
for sure.
Daffodils, that's the word.
My
daffodils.
Irises are definitely exploding.
Nice.
My tulips are very certainly exploding out of the ground.
My God.
The extra snow this weekend was actually quite nice for them specifically. Not so much for anyone who needs to go out and about in the snow. But my tulips
that
are
is
happy.
Nice.
I don't have a garden plot yet because we are currently redoing some of our backyard, as in we are replacing fences, and we don't want to. I don't want to develop the backyard too much yet, but I do want to get some planters a little bit, maybe higher off the ground, maybe not just like in ground, because I also tend to grow like crop plants as opposed to flowers, so I don't want the rabbits to get to it.
Correct.
For example,
oh,
I know
that
rabbits.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but just waiting for it to warm up, because I am not, though the bad thing about air garden plants as opposed to just planting outside, of course, is that none of the plants are hardened. Hardening is that process of like moving them outside and then making sure they don't just die outside because they're not used to the winds and they're not used to the temperature variations.
They're itty bitty widow baby plants, and they're weak and they're little guys.
Yeah, you gotta take
just
care
like, get
of
out.
Them a little bit before you toss them
they
out into the wild, you know?
They get grossed out by things like dirt and fresh air.
That is the other thing. I have to transfer them into dirt from their otherwise
very safe
steroid filled, not steroid actually, but it's like
nutrients,
it's like giving them steroids.
Dense water.
Yes.
Yes. They are. They're. Very, they're so happy when they're in the air garden. So I do feel bad about putting them in dirt, because they're making them be like, "You got to pay taxes now, kid."
It really is.
Got to pay rent now, kid. Come on, cough it up.
Yeah.
Get in the dirt and like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, tomatoes are coming in. Yay. I have lots of peppers. I have rosemary that is always going to be slow growing, but I'm hoping to have, by this time next year, a big rosemary bush that I can always pluck fresh herbiage off of.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
I want to start growing some rosemary myself. I have found that I enjoy cooking focaccia enough. It is so delicious. But if I'm going to the store and getting like a $4 sprig of fresh rosemary, using half of it, and then the rest of it goes bad before I get to make another loaf of bread, I would rather just have the plant in my living room.
In your case,
smelling amazing.
Yeah.
Not that I like. I feel like if you do want that rosemary bush, because rosemary is like a hardy shrub type of plant.
It is a shrub,
but it's slow growing. So in your case, do not bother with seeding it. Just buy like a pre-established one.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
Put it out in your balcony. Yes, like that's my actual advice for you, because if. Even so, in an air garden environment, plants tend to grow faster than their in dirt counterparts. But even in an air garden environment, rosemary is slow to grow.
It takes like a year to really get ready.
Yeah. So just like, if you're looking for that immediate use, definitely just get like a pre-established plant that's maybe at least a foot tall and widely branched as best as possible.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you give me rosemary, I'll make you more sourdough.
Ooh. Oh, I want that. I want that.
Or all I want is for
I can make you fail kasha again.
Yeah. Well, I can make my own fail kasha at home.
You could, but you'd need my sourdough starter for that.
True.
You would need Breadward's blessing.
I'm actually fine. I think my jarred quick rise yeast does the job extremely nice.
Yeah, but then quick rise yeast tastes like yeast, whereas sourdough tastes like sourdough.
If you
it's a
do
very different flavor profile.
You are correct. You are right. It is a different flavor profile. I find that quick rise yeast, if you do like a slow ferment and let it go 3 days, it really doesn't taste yeasty. You do actually get like a regular bready flavor, and it is good.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to get bready?
Are you ready to get bready? Are you ready for Odafest? 15 days.
Get on it.
Get your ticket.
At least two more episodes.
Literally, get your ticket right now if you don't have it. Odafest.com/tickets. Do it. Do it, do it,
go.
Do it, do it.
Quick.
Yeah.
And we'll
like
see you
actually,
next time.
We, I'm not joking. We sell out. And the sooner we get, the closer we get to Odafest, it accelerates. Literally, if you haven't gotten it, get now. Because you might really regret it. Just saying.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Farewell.